President, would you temporarily lay this bill on the informal calendar with the amendment pending? And we're going to continue to try to work this out.
Shall lay the bill over with the amendment pending. Senator from Green, for purpose, do you seek recognition?
Point of personal order. Privilege, excuse me. Point of personal privilege.
Senator from Green, on a point of personal privilege.
Mr. President, I need to announce that the Health Committee will be meeting at recess just for about 2 minutes in the Pershing Gallery on the side.
Senator from Cape, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Require the chair.
State your inquiry.
As I understand it, what we just did with House Bill 191 is the senator from Franklin is the handler of the bill. The senator from Andrew is the sponsor of the Senate floor substitute. The senator from the 4th had the amendment to the Senate floor substitute, and the bill handler put all of those pending on the informal calendar. Am I correct in that?
That's right.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from St. Francis.
Mr. President.
Senator from St. Francis.
We have messages from the House.
We do have messages from the House.
Would you have those read in, please?
Secretary, please read the messages.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to recede from its position on House Committee Substitute for Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 539 as amended and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Also, the House refuses to recede from its position on House Committee Substitute 2 for Senate Bill 114 as amended and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Also, the House has taken up and adopted the Conference Committee Report on House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 435 and has taken up and passed Conference Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 435. Also, the House has taken up and adopted the Conference Committee Report on Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 745 as amended and has taken up and passed Conference Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 745. Also, the House has taken up and adopted the Conference Committee Report on House Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 216 as amended and has taken up and passed Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 216. Also, the House has taken up and adopted Senate Concurrent Resolution 5. Also, the House refuses to adopt Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1075 as amended and request the Senate to recede from its position, and failing to do so, grant the House a conference thereon. Also, the House has taken up and adopted Senate Concurrent Resolution 27. Also, the House has taken up and passed Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 376. Also, the Speaker has appointed the following conference committee to act with the like committee from the Senate on House Committee Substitute for Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 539 as amended. Representatives Ruzicka, Brown of the 30th, Emery, Rucker, and Harris. Also, the Speaker has appointed the following conference committee to act with the like committee from the Senate on House Committee Substitute 2 for Senate Bill 114 as amended. Representatives Tracy, Lipke, Cox, Meadows, and Colonna. Also, the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 176, an act relating to the Alzheimer's State Plan Task Force, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from St. Francis.
Do you have some conferees for you?
We do.
If you have those.
Secretary, please read the conferees.
Conference Committee Appointments on House Committee Substitute for Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 539 as amended. Senators Schaefer, Clemens, Stoffer, Schumacher, and McKenna.
Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, without objection, Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements.
Recognize me for announcements.
Senator from St. Francis.
Yeah, we're caught up on the other bills. We're not making any progress on this, so some people want to take a little break and go talk to some people on it and some other subjects. And so I plan on coming back in about a couple hours. So anybody else have any announcements?
Further announcements? Senator from Cape, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from St. Francis.
Does the senator from St. Francis yield? He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Are you adjourning to a time certain or recessing to a time certain?
Yes.
So you will stay to time certain?
Yes, I will.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
We have a corrected conferee list that needs to be read.
A corrected conferee list? By all means, read it.
Secretary, please read the corrected conferee list.
Conference committee appointments. I have committee substitute for Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 539 as amended. Schaefer. Senator Schaefer, Clemens, Stouffer, Schumacher, and Bray.
Senator from St. Francis.
President. Mr. President, no further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand in recess until 4 p.m. today.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from St. Francis. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand in recess until 4 p.m. this day.
Expired. The Senate is now in session. Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could we go to the order of business of reports from standing committees?
Reports from standing committees. Senator from Green. Senator from St. Francis.
While we're waiting for the Senator from Green, do we have any? Oh, okay.
Senator Green, do you have a report?
President, your Committee on Health, Mental Health, Seniors, and Families has a report.
Send that report forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Health, Mental Health, Seniors, and Families, to which was referred House Bill 156, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully, Senator Champion, Chairman.
The Chair would like to refer that bill to Government Accountability and Fiscal Oversight. Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, could you go to...
Senator from St. Francis, would you like to take messages from the House, please?
If you'd like. If we have messages from the House, read them in.
And Secretary, read the messages.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has adopted Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 250 and has taken up and passed Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 250, emergency clause adopted. Also, the House has taken up and passed Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 37. Also, the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute Number 2, for Senate Substitute for Senate Bill 291, an act relating to education, with House Amendment 1, House Amendment 2, emergency clause adopted, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Also, the Speaker has appointed the following conference committee to act with a like committee from the Senate on Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 62, as amended. Representatives Lipke, Kenny, Cox, Ruta, and Burnett. Also, the House refuses to adopt Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 390 and requests the Senate to recede from its position and, failing to do so, grant the House a conference thereon. Also, the House refuses to adopt Senate substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bills 46 and 434 and requests the Senate to recede from its position and, failing to do so, grant the House a conference thereon. Also, the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 480, an act relating to state boards and commissions, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Cape.
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire President Pro Tem of the Senate.
State your inquiry.
Mr. President, are you aware in any communications with the House and where they stand, if they are in session, if they have adjourned, if they have recessed?
I can get that information for you.
Okay.
They are standing in recess until all conference committee reports. What's the message right there? Or our conference committee reports are distributed or midnight, whichever comes first.
So they have adjourned to a time certain of they have recessed, as I understand it, Mr. President, a time certain of being midnight.
At the latest.
And that's the message we have received from the House.
What is on their board.
Okay. And as I understand it, Mr. President, if a conference committee report then is not distributed and agreed to before midnight, then they would have to suspend their rule of the 24 hours in order for it.
That's probably not a proper inquiry of the chair.
Okay.
I don't know that in this position I want to be commenting on House rules.
Okay. And fair enough, and I appreciate that, Mr. President. But we do know that a time certain of midnight for adjournment has been announced.
Or until they receive all conference committee reports.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President.
Sheriff St. Francis, we have received and read all the House messages.
Glad they're done, I guess.
Senator St. Francis?
Yes, Mr. President.
Would you go back to the order of business reports to standing committee?
Sure, reports on the standing committees.
Reports standing committees.
Let's go back there.
Senator from Howell, do you have a report?
Yes, Mr. President, I have a report and a headache. So thank you.
Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Governmental Accountability and Fiscal Oversight, to which is referred House Committee Substitute for House Bill 620 and 671, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully, Senator Pergeson, Chairman.
Senator St. Francis.
Mr. President, if you would recognize the Senator from the 21st for a privilege motion.
Senator 21st, recognized for a privilege motion.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate refuse to concur in House Committee substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 71 as amended and request the House to recede from its position and take up and pass Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 71.
Okay, you've heard the motion of the Senator from Saline. Does any Senator seek recognition on that motion? Senator from Cape?
To inquire the Senator from Saline.
Senator Saline, do you yield?
I yield.
Yield.
I apologize, Senator. I was talking to our colleague, the Senator from the 24th, when you made your motion. What are you doing?
I'm asking that the House recede from its position and take up and pass Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 71.
And what is that bill?
71 is the zero fiscal note tax credit bill that, where providers of developmentally disabled folks can buy tax credits and then use that for fundraising.
And that is the only thing that's on that bill.
That's the only, it came over with $1 billion tax cut on it.
A billion dollar
tax credit, which
okay.
kind of really affected the fiscal note. So I thought maybe I'd send it back and see if they would take it as is, and if not,
okay. So you're not seeking to go to conference on it because
no.
you heard my inquiry with the chair. It looks like they've adjourned, and with them being adjourned just for distribution and conference committee reports, it doesn't look like the Speaker of the House will be in a position to appoint any conferees
no.
if they haven't been already.
No conference.
Okay, so. All it is the version that has already passed the Missouri Senate. And you're just asking them to basically recede from the $1 billion tax cut they put on it and choose to take it up and pass it or not. Fair enough. Thank you, Senator.
Senator from Clay.
My microphone.
Senator Clay, what purpose are you seeking recognition?
Mr. President, I'd like to inquire the Senator from Saline.
Senator Saline, do you yield?
I yield.
Yield, proceed.
Senator, I'm sorry I was tied up down in my office and I missed a little bit of this earlier discussion. Am I to understand that the House is adjourned?
I think recess.
They're recess. Okay. What was this tax cut for?
I think, you know, it was a half a percent tax cut. Income tax cut for insurance.
It would be an across the board half percent
income tax
decrease. Okay. And it would be over 2 years?
No.
Permanent. Okay. And over how long would it be $1 billion a year? Is that right?
I really think it's probably half of that, but I don't know. It was, you know, when it was first tacked on or when it first talked about it, was $1 billion tax cut over 2 years, and I assumed it would be $500 million a year.
Half a billion dollars a year forever.
$500 million.
Okay. Now your discussion with the senator from Cape was, what is your motion again?
My motion is to ask the House to recede from its position and just take up Senate Bill 71 and pass it.
And we don't think there's any time for conference or, if I mean, to me, one of the biggest economic development bills that we could have
I don't disagree with you, Senator, but it's this late in the session, there really needs to be discussion between capital projects, and all this needs to be worked out in this late session, I think. And,
so you're
and
asking,
trying to save my little
your
zero
little
fiscal note.
And yours, what's the underlying bill in yours?
It is the, it allows developmentally disabled providers to buy tax cuts from the state, or buy tax cuts from the state, and then use them for fundraising.
That's a great idea.
It is a great idea.
As you know, I have heartburn over turning away the opportunity for a tax cut.
No, I understand.
So if we don't pass an economic development bill, which is looking like it may be curtains on that, is the House just thinking we've got the money and the Senate thinks we don't have the money, or what's...
Well, I think it's we passed Senate Bill 20 or House Bill 22, which
we passed House Bill 22,
right, which was like $300 million. I'm just not sure that at this late date we can have a quality discussion on that.
And the House came up with this when?
I think I got it Monday or Tuesday. I don't remember.
Senator, I honestly can't hear you.
I think I got it Monday or Tuesday. I don't remember exactly when it came back. I think I had it Monday.
It was a couple weeks ago, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
Get some order in the Senate so the senators in debate can hear each other.
I honestly don't remember.
Okay. Well,
you know, it may have been right after Easter. I'm not sure. After Easter, but.
Senator, is there any reason why that we might, other than we like tax cuts. Is there any reason why that we might want to hold off on what you're doing to see if we get an economic development bill so that we can go ahead and give these people a tax break otherwise? I haven't thought about it.
It's up to the body.
This can be. I reckon this is going to be a voice vote, huh?
I would hope.
I'd rather it wasn't, but on the other hand, I would probably be accused by a few of my members of laying some of my folks out there. You don't mind if I vote against your motion? I appreciate what you're trying to do in the underlying bill. However, this is a real chance for broad-based tax cuts. It's the first time that I think seen one in front of
me. I was really looking forward to the debate, but I think that at this late date, the only chance for 71 to survive.
That's what I'm concerned about. Mr. President.
Sir, from Clay.
I'd like to speak on the pending motion.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this is the first time that this body's had a chance to vote on broad-based tax cuts. I realize it's late in the session to discuss them, but it's late in the session to discuss anything, whether it's health care reform or economic development, anything. This is our one chance that we might have to keep in play. I realize I may be talking in the wind, and the only people that's hearing me here are the folks that are looking at me over the press table. But this is a cut in taxes. And to vote for this motion, that's the end of it. We don't have a chance to cut taxes in a broad-based form this year for the people of the state of Missouri. I can't think of anything that we could do that would better get our economy back on track than to give the people of the state of Missouri, all of them who are taxpayers, a broad-based tax cut. So I'm going to be voting no against the senator's motion, and I would encourage the body to do the same. Thank you.
Sir Kate,
thank you, Mr. President, to inquire of you, sir.
State your inquiry.
Mr. President, are you aware if the House sent a message on Senate Bill 306, sending it to conference, or if the House appointed conferees on 306?
The House, to my knowledge, has appointed conferees but has not sent that message.
Mr. President, do you know if the House has that message and is just holding it to send it over, or?
I know that we do not have that message. And I will be down from the dais at some point and to provide further clarification
okay.
at that point.
And I appreciate that, Mr. President, because as I see it, I think procedurally, from what the House has done, they have just killed any chance to revisit the 306 issue in health care.
If you'll hold your inquiry for a little bit, I think I can provide clarification for you on that.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other senators take recognition on the motion of the senator from Saline? Seeing none, senators recognized closed. Senator from Saline has moved that the Senate refuse to concur in House Committee substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 71 and ask the House to recede from its position and take up and pass the bill. All those pending that motion shall prevail, say aye. All those contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The motion is adopted. All their business of the Missouri Senate will be suspended, and Senate Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill number 236, having passed both branches of the General Assembly, will be read at length by the Secretary, and if no objections are made, the bill will be signed to the end that it may become law. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Truly agreed to and finally passed, Senate Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 236, an act relating to students with disabilities with an emergency clause.
No objections being made. The bill is so signed.
The senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President.
I assume with the emergency clause that was the senator from Catesville about the graduation. Okay.
Appreciate it. Mr. President, would you take us to the senator from the 26th for a privilege motion?
The senator from Franklin.
Mr. President, I've got a privilege motion.
State your privilege motion, sir.
I need to move, you know, I don't have the exact thing, but I can think I can win this. I need to move that the Senate refuse to confer on Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1075, and request that the House receive this position, and failing to do so, grant the Senate a conference thereon.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. Senator?
On the motion.
Proceed to speak, Senator. I didn't see it.
Mr. President, I ask the inquiry of the Senator from the 26th.
Does the Senator yield?
Sure.
Thank you, Senator, very much. I don't know if you heard the inquiry I had with the President Pro Tem about where procedurally the House is. And
well,
they,
I heard it,
my understanding, the House has recessed for dropping of conference committee reports, and then at midnight will adjourn. So if you don't have a conference committee report dropped between now and midnight, then under my understanding of the rules, and I'm the one that wrote that rule, my understanding of the House rules, they won't be able to take up the conference committee reports unless they're dropped before midnight.
Okay.
So have you had discussions with the House as we send this to conference when I don't know how they can even receive the message now that they're not in session?
When are they? How long are they out?
They are done.
They are
recessed until midnight or dropping of all conference committee reports, and they're not coming back.
Okay.
As I understand it. I don't know if you've talked to the House sponsor or you have a better understanding than
I do. No, I mean, I have not. I understand that it was the senator from the 13th Amendment that got put on that everybody has a problem with. And the last thing that I was told is we would go to conference. But since they've gone home, I appreciate that.
I don't know why I'm doing this then.
I don't need to be doing
yeah,
this.
I'd say
the bill fits.
Well, and I'm not, I'm trying to see if you have a better understanding of my interpretation of where the House is.
Not today, I don't.
Okay. All right. I agree. I mean, I'm trying to understand. I had an inquiry with the senator from Buchanan earlier. And I don't know what messages may be held by the House clerk that if we get a particular bill passed, they'll release those messages and we can receive them that may appoint conferees and maybe we can get, you know, suspend our rules and have conference or stuff.
So they've gone home.
Neither
than report.
Not technically. Technically, they are in recess until midnight. At midnight, they are going to adjourn, but in the difference between those two times, the motion that they have said is for the dropping of conference committee reports, which is a necessary motion to comply with the House rules on the one legislative day that a conference committee report must lie before it can be taken up by the House.
Well, then I appreciate that, but I need to withdraw my motion.
Well, I'm not trying to encourage you to withdraw your motion because that's my understanding, but my understanding could be wrong, and why you were making this motion is why I was inquiring to see if you had better information than my current understanding of where the House is. So I'm not saying it's my way. I'm just trying to figure it out because I don't have the answer.
I was not aware of that. No, I didn't hear. If you just announced that, I didn't know that. I'm trying to work on economic development, but no,
I understand.
I didn't know that.
And I'm not encouraging you to withdraw your motion.
No,
I'm not saying with any definitive certainty where we are at, but I'm trying to figure out, in all candidness, what is alive and what just died because of the procedural motion
that was made in the posture where the House currently stands as a legislative body.
Okay.
Unless a suspension of the rule. And I will say that I am the only member of the House that has actually suspended that rule. And we suspended that one time actually for the President of the Senate so that he could get his anti-frost-burning bill passed when he was the President pro tem of the Senate. And that was the only time since that rule has existed that the House has ever suspended that rule. So I'm just trying, so everyone knows that has bills that may be there, I'm just trying to get a greater clarification of where that may be. Maybe our floor leader has a better understanding of where the Senate is in relation to the House. Because, Senator, my understanding is we still have differences to work out on this bill. We have differences to work out on the health care bill, 306. We don't know what's going to happen on the economic development bill, House Bill 191, whether or not that bill needs to go back to conference if something comes on after this chamber, or the House is going to be in a position to take it up and pass it. And I'm trying to get a better understanding of the ramifications that are associated with these two bodies in order to see what can pass and what can't pass now, if that's a fair enough statement.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Yeah, we've got I think the crime bill is already in conference, though. So if they get a conference committee report dropped before midnight, I think that can still be taken up. So I guess my short question with that statement is, you don't have any better information than I have.
No.
Okay. All right.
I'm the last to find out.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. Mr. President?
Senator?
Can I inquire of the Senator from Buchanan?
Does the Senator from Buchanan yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. And the inquiry that we have had when you were presiding, and I apologize for that, and the inquiry I've had with the Senator from the 26th, do you have any information that may be able to shed light on where we are as respective legislative bodies, the Senate and the House?
I think you're inquiring specifically about 306.
Well, and now we've got the Senator from the 26th bill.
I did not hear your conversation with Senator 26.
Okay, he's got another bill that he wants to send to conference, but I don't know that the House is there to even receive a message.
Can't do
to
that.
Grant a conference.
Can't do that.
Okay, so for the benefit of the Senator from the 26th, you have information that believes if he's trying to send the bill to conference, the House isn't there to even receive it and to grant it.
Unless they come back in earlier, if they want to come in and receive another conference committee report, which I believe is where they're at, is they're in recess until they receive conference committee reports or midnight.
Okay.
If they came back in, they could receive a message.
Oh, I understand.
Okay.
So they have not said, we're just going to stand in recess accepting conference committee reports.
Remember, I've had...
Okay.
You probably had more communication with House than I have.
I have.
All going off is that little message board that says
okay.
What
so you were not briefed on what the House was going to do today?
No.
Okay, so it is a shock to you that they are now in recess at a little after 4:30 on
I can assure you after 19 years, nothing that happens in this building is a shock to me.
Okay, not a shock, but you weren't briefed before this happened.
That is correct.
Okay.
Now, do you want to ask me about 306?
I do.
306 is in a little different position than what the Senator from the 26th has. Or they have appointed conferees 306 and read those conferees in. The only thing I'm waiting on 306 is the actual piece of paper that says who their conferees are.
Okay.
Okay. That does not require them to be in session for me to get that.
So as we understand it, the House clerk is holding that until something occurs in this body.
Right.
And do you know what that something is?
I believe I know what it is.
And what is your belief?
I believe it is that we passed an economic development bill. At what point, when we pass an economic development bill, there will be an exchange somewhere in the rotunda.
Of the football.
Or they will pass, people with suits on and dark glasses will walk by and they'll exchange briefcases. 306, the message will be in one briefcase, and the economic development bill will be in the other briefcase.
So would it be?
And there may be a password.
There may be a password, a secret handshake, maybe.
So
okay. So as I understand it, there has been a coupling to those two bills, more or less.
I have no actual knowledge of that. I only believe that to be the case is that the House desperately would like to see an economic development, as would I.
Right.
And in return, they will put us in a position to pass a health care bill.
Okay. Now, have you got any conference committee report worked on 306?
The senator from the 23rd, okay. I've asked him to work. I said, if you were in a conference committee report and you were, or if you were in a conference committee and you were to draft a report, what would it look like?
Okay.
And he has worked on that.
He is working on that
as
we speak.
Right.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you very much,
okay.
Senator. Mr. President?
Okay.
If I could inquire the senator from the 23rd, St. Charles.
The senator from the 23rd. Do you yield for inquiry, sir? Proceed.
Thank you, Senator, and I appreciate the inquiry, and I don't want to belabor the point. I'm just trying to figure out where bills are and what needs to go. I understand that your Bill 306 is in a little bit different place than I think the senator from the 26th is, and anyone else's that may be there. Are you aware of kind of the differences between the House version and the Senate version of 306?
Yes.
Can you briefly describe those? Or are they too radical in which to encapsulate in a brief?
Well, the House basically covered, their coverage was for the uninsurable. The Senate's position was the custodial parents between 20 and 50%.
And are they using the same revenue stream to cover those people?
Yes.
Does the House position have, and I don't, please understand, I do not believe it's necessary, but does the House have the consent of the Hospital Association to spend the FRA and DSH payments in the methodology in which they have for the uninsurable?
I don't, from conversations I've had, think that the Hospital Association is supportive of covering that group with that revenue.
And roughly speaking, it was my understanding that under the proposal you passed, roughly 25,000 people would qualify for coverage. 35,000. I apologize. 35,000. Do you have any idea of how many people would be eligible under the House version?
I heard a number. The House was saying 20,000. I've had some other folks say it was lower. It would be lower than that, considerably lower. But so I haven't seen hard numbers.
Okay. Fair enough, and I appreciate it, Senator. Thank you for the inquiry. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator wished to be heard on the motion of the senator from Franklin to go to conference. Well, Senator, you're going to be recognized. Do you want to be heard on your own motion, Senator? Seeing none, Chair is prepared to recognize you to close, Senator.
Okay. Mr. President, I would like to withdraw my motion. Apparently, there is some way that this can be worked out without going to conference. I was just told.
Senator from Franklin withdraws his motion.
Thank you.
For what purpose does Senator from 13 seek recognition?
I'd like to inquire the Senator from the 26th.
Does the Senator yield?
Yeah.
Proceed.
I want to stand on the floor and apologize, but sometimes you are told everything is worked out and you bring things forward.
I feel ultimately it lands on me. Okay?
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
But apparently there is a way to do this so we don't have to go to conference.
Okay.
I didn't get all of it. I didn't get all of the how we're going to do it because I came back in here. But we need to go out here and talk. But there is a way that this is going to get worked
that's
out.
That's fine. I just didn't realize they came to me probably about 3 o'clock, I said, fine. I did not know it was going to be a problem. I'm willing. I was unaware that the House was going to up and adjourn basically at 4 o'clock to put, I guess, a wrinkle or a wave in the process and everything. But I was under the understanding when I brought it to you, and you were under the standing when I brought it to you, that this was all fine and that things were worked out on it. So, you know, if we want to dictate things for the last 2 days, I just want to say I apologize
if I put you in an awkward position. I feel bad, too, because I was told that this amendment was fine, and it ain't fine. And,
so,
you know, so I, again, the buck stops with me.
But it was back at 3 o'clock when I let the House know that was fine to go to conference and take it off and everything. So it's just an issue there that by their actions they have probably put a wrinkle. But I wanted to clarify that because you're standing on this floor by yourself, and I wanted to take a little call.
I appreciate it. I'll take the heat.
Hey, I just want to remind you. Who loves you, baby? You hug him.
Hey, man. Love you too, man.
From the senator from Lawrence as to the next order of business. Senator from Lawrence, sir.
In the same order of business, can you recognize the senator from Johnson for a privilege motion on Senate Bill 485?
The senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a privilege motion. I move that the House recede from its position and take up and pass Senate Bill 485. Senate Bill 485 was a very, very small consent bill that dealt with redacting information that was sent to the Missouri Ethics Commission. It was a page and a half. The House took a look at it, and it was made the...
Senator, may the chair inquire?
Yes.
Senator, did you finish your motion?
Yes, I did.
Do you want to... Are you seeking to go to conference?
No.
You're not.
Proceed. I just thought I'd explain why I've been received. Yeah, I move that the House receive from its position, take up and pass Senate Bill 485, and I move that as a privilege motion. The House loaded it up with about 90 pages of language, and it's mainly the omnibus election bill. And according to our staff right now, it's too late to appoint a conference because it is a Senate bill. And so the only way that we would have to do this is if they just take up what our original version was that we sent to them about a month ago.
Does any senator wish to be heard on that motion? The senator from 13th.
To inquire the senator from
Does
Johnson.
The senator from Johnson yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Tim, you always have to watch these last few days.
Right,
what is
right.
all going on? We passed the Senate bill. They sent you a House committee substitute with House amendments and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's too late for you to ask them to recede from their position. Failing to do so, grant a conference thereon. So you are just sending back a motion, take up the bill and pass it.
Take up the Senate bill that we originally sent them a month ago.
And pass it in no conference or anything.
That's correct. Exactly.
And it was an election bill that was a simple consent bill.
Right.
That they put a lot of other election
right.
issues on, and it's just too late for you to work those issues out. So just take up.
Now, Senator, my thought was if they weren't adjourned, if we could, go over there and appoint conferees and things like that. But
I understand that. This is when it all happens. And
right.
if you say happen the last day, it tends to happen now the day before the last day,
right.
which I'm fine with. I want to compliment the House when they took it over. I don't mind that last day of being a little slower.
Right.
But I just want to make sure you're just saying we're not accepting what you did. Just take up the bill and pass it.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator from Cape Girardeau.
To inquire the Senator from Johnson.
Senator Yield?
I do.
Okay. Senator, do you have a better understanding of what's going on?
I wish I did.
Okay.
I really wish. Now, I did talk with the bill handler who dealt with this over in the House. It was his understanding. Of course, they've recessed. It was his understanding they could still take conferees.
Okay, so they could take messages from the Senate.
Well, that was the bill handler's impression.
Okay.
And I just talked to him 20 minutes ago. Now, I don't know if that's the official understanding. According to the Senate, it's too late to appoint conferees. And so what we're going to do is at least try to take what the original version was of the Senate bill before it was sent over.
Okay. Okay. All right.
But that's all the impression that I have right
okay.
now.
Okay. So
you have an understanding that it's too late to go to conference on all these bills that haven't already gone to conference, and the two messages, you know, we ask to go to conference, they agree to go to conference, or they ask to go to conference and we agree to go to conference. If that exchange hasn't happened yet, it's too late. But
that would be my
but they can still receive messages during this recess period where they're dropping conference committee reports where that exchange has already occurred. Does that make sense?
That would be my understanding, right?
All right, fair enough.
And Senator, if we had, if they had adjourned, if we could appoint conference, we would.
Yeah, I understand.
I'd like to work it out, but since the House adjourned, we can't, so this is the next best option.
I totally understand. I'm just myself trying to get a better idea of where we stand procedurally.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
The Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire the Senator from the 2nd.
Does the Senator from 2nd yield?
I yield, Mr.
President. You may inquire.
Thank you, Mr. President. As we're sort of figuring out what's going on here in the last 30-plus hours, I wanted to ask you, what is the status over in the House on the autism insurance bill? What is your knowledge of that?
Oh, the autism insurance bill, it's Senate Bill 167. I believe it is hovering somewhere in between the ER and the intensive care ward. It's somewhere in there. There is still hope. Basically, it is supposedly going to be heard in their version of fiscal oversight and passed out of there tonight so that it can be talked about tomorrow on the floor. That is my latest intel, but however, it seems that things over there are changing very drastically when it comes to this bill. We hear one thing, something else happens, and then it's delayed. So that's where it stands right now.
Well, hopefully, we don't have the problem. Obviously, we're dealing with the problem right now of whether conference reports can be sent, conferences can be made here. We don't really have that problem with the autism insurance bill, do you? When did we deal with that here in the Senate?
Well, we dealt with that a month ago or so.
Yeah.
So it's been over there for quite a long time.
How many committees has that bill been through over there?
Oh, well, let's see. It went through their insurance committee. Then it went to rules. It was kicked back from rules to insurance, and then back out of insurance to rules. Was held on in rules for a long while. Eventually voted out of rules, and now it's been languishing in their fiscal accountability. And then after that, it'll hopefully tonight will be voted out and could be appear on their calendar on the floor for debate tomorrow. But there will be no option for conference. It will hopefully they will pick up whatever they have over there and they can send it over here and it'll be in some shape that this body would agree to, and that would be the only likelihood of its passing this year.
And it might come over here with what, like a half hour to go, something like that, possibly?
You know, it could easily come over here with a half hour to go so that everyone could wash their hands and say, look, we voted for it, we were in favor. But allow the time clock to work against it. So, but
that'd be a shame, wouldn't it?
It would be a very big shame.
I mean, not just a shame for all the work that's going on with the Blue Ribbon Panel on Autism and the Autism Commission that's been formed, all of your work in trying to bring the parties together, the overwhelming vote that came out of the Senate, but probably for the thousands of kids that every year we know that as their brains develop and they don't receive those essential services, we are depriving them of reaching their full potential in life. That would be a darn shame, wouldn't it?
It would be a huge travesty.
Thank you, Senator.
The Senator from Clay had been seeking recognition, and then the Senator from Cape.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to inquire of the Senator from Johnson, please. The
Senator from Johnson, yield.
I do.
Senator.
Yes.
It's getting late, and I just got to cut straight to the chase.
Okay.
What was your motion again?
Okay. That the House receive from its position and take up and pass Senate Bill 485. That was a very small consent bill that passed from our chamber, went over there. House loaded it up, about 90 pages worth of basically election stuff, and it's
okay.
Almost the omnibus election bill.
So you don't want to take any of their stuff because it's way too late to mess with that stuff.
From our understanding, it's too late because conferees have not been appointed, and so we can't appoint conferees. It's
great.
Too late because they have adjourned.
So
the only thing we can get is how the bill was when it left our chamber went over there.
I don't have to worry about reading through all the junk the House put on there.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
If we pass this.
Now, as far as the stuff that we had on there, what was it again?
It was a very small consent bill.
I like consent bills.
It basically dealt with information that is that elected our candidates provide to the Ethics Commission. Banking, checking account information is supplied there, but that information is redacted or it's blackened out so then that information is not made public. It's basically an identity theft, a protection idea, so that anyone that's running for office, that information is not publicly like on the Internet.
Senator, as long as there's nothing on there about port authorities, police activities, and private jails, I am for you.
No, there is not.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
The Senator from the 14th.
The Senator from Johnson, please.
Senator from Johnson, you?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you very much, Senator, for yielding. I was outside and I heard the magic numbers, I think 485.
485,
we
right.
had had a little conversation about that.
Right.
And if you talk about what your plans were, I apologize, but I need to know. There's a couple of amendments there that caused me a little heartburn, and I need to know what is your plan for those?
Well, talk about
the election and the ballots. And
okay, what my plan is to not accept anything from the House.
Okay.
Because it's too late because they can't appoint conferees because they're not in session.
All right.
And so all we would, the things that we had talked about earlier today,
yes.
we're not taking that up. That's not to be considered. It's just
all right.
to be passed here about a month ago, a very small consent bill that went over there.
All right. And so I don't need to worry.
You do not need to worry.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
You.
Senator from K.
The senior senator from St. Charles.
This is the senator from the second year.
I yield, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. And, you know, we're getting to the end. I was actually talking with the majority floor leader of the House to try to get a better feel of the posture when you and the senator from the 15th were inquiring. I think you were talking about the autism bill.
Yes.
And that's important to me as well. Mm-hmm. Do you know the status of the bill in the House, and I'm sorry if you've already repeated this.
Yeah, no, he asked the same question. I gladly repeat it. From my latest conversations, the status is it is still in their version of fiscal oversight committee that
okay.
is scheduled to take that up this evening.
Okay.
Or I guess maybe they might be talking about it now.
Okay.
But it's been there for a while, as it always
sure.
has been in all these committees. And then if it does, should as I'm told, should be passed out of there, then it is coming could come up anytime tomorrow for debate in the House, and then they could pass it and send it back over here.
Do you know what form that bill is as it relates to the House committee substitute? I think we've given them several options to look at. The
right.
latest, I think, was to mimic the small business protections that were passed when
yes.
we did mental health parity.
I believe that is the last. That is the version that was voted out of committee,
okay.
which is the 36,000 cap. The exemption for small business is the same as for, done with the mental health parity bill that we passed a couple years ago. I think that was the substantive changes. Who knows what would happen tomorrow on the floor, but that's the version that it is right now, and that's where it's at.
Fantastic.
Okay.
I appreciate the inquiry,
no problem,
Senator. Thank you.
Does any other senator wish to be heard on the motion of the senator from Johnson? Seeing none, Senator from Johnson is recognized. Close.
I close, Mr. President.
The Senator renews his motion to refuse to accept the House changes in Senate Bill 485 and ask the House to take up and pass the bill. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The motion is agreed to. Senator from St. Francis.
Would you recognize the Senator from the 26th for a privileged motion?
Senator from Franklin.
Mr. President, here we go again.
Yes, sir.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate refuse to confer on Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1075 and request that the House recede from this position and failing to do so grant the Senate a conference thereon.
Senator, the Secretary informs me that your proper motion is to refuse to...
I thought I said that.
Refuse to recede.
Refuse to recede, I'm sorry.
And grant, and
Senate,
be granted a conference
thereon. Conference thereon, yes.
That's your motion?
Yes, sorry.
Does any senator wish to be heard? Senator from Cape Girardeau.
Mr. President, to inquire the Senator from the 26th.
Senator from 26th yield.
Yeah.
Proceed.
All right.
Here we are,
Senator. I think we have a better understanding of where we are.
Yeah.
since this was a Senate bill, or is this a House? This is a House bill. Since this was the House bill,
yeah, that's correct.
House bill. They sent us a message before they recessed pending adjournment.
But they are taking messages.
I agree. Right. That was the point.
Yeah.
So they are taking responses to that which they've already sent.
Yeah.
And they're waiting to drop conference committee reports
as
they are signed
in print. Yes, and they're going to appoint conferees, and then we're going to fix what we need to fix and go and bring it back. Yes.
Okay, so you're looking to have a conference committee report drafted for this bill.
Yep, just talked to their counsel over here just a couple seconds ago.
Understood. I understand. Mr. President? Mr. President? To inquire the senator from the 11th?
Senator from the 11th, do you yield?
I yield, how are you, Mr. President?
Thank you, Senator. We debated this earlier today. I raised one concern as it related to us being able to back out of the temporary deal. At that time, we thought we had the language correct that would allow us to play that, quote-unquote, shell game with the federal government where we take it and then we back out of it. We have additional language that we need to add now? Or
no. We're not. I misspoke to you just 45 seconds ago.
Okay.
That the House has informed me that it was in the original House bill. So
fair
we
enough.
Just have to go to conference and
take the House position on that particular
item. On that paragraph, yeah.
On that particular narrow
sentence. We were concerned that there was missing language, which there was not if it's in the House, and that's the issue that I was afraid we would have to exceed, but we do not.
Fair enough.
Thank
you, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 1st.
Could I inquire the Senator from the 11th?
Senator from the 11th, yield.
I yield, Mr. President.
Proceed.
Senator, just so I understand, to follow up on Senator from Cape.
Yes.
So when the stimulus money runs out in relation to these benefits.
Yes. Well, first, Senator, let me walk through it how this is. This morning, if you remember, I kind of started out by saying back in January or February, and maybe you were even part of this, the Lieutenant Governor and the President pro tem of the Senate and several others from the House and Senate said that it was a bad idea as part of the federal stimulus to accept the unemployment component of it. And, Senator, I agree. In fact, the Senator from 2nd had ran the stimulus committee of this Senate, and my own staff had written as part of that a memo to him about unemployment that agreed with that position because we did not want 2 years later to do that. What has happened in the meantime is they have worked out a thing where before we get to that point, the feds would have to agree, Department of Labor, the U.S. Department of Labor would have to agree with this change before they even issued a dollar. And then these would expire or sunset a year from now. And what the backup is this. Associated Industry, the Chamber, many business groups have now supported this or dropped their opposition because of that contingency. In addition, I gave the Senator from CAPE, and maybe I'm running out of copies. I have a letter for you if you don't mind me handing. Is it okay to print it? Can I hand something to another senator, or do I need a doorman? Okay. This is a letter from Governor Nixon. And Governor Nixon, I anticipated this discussion, Senator, about this money. And if you'll go to the last paragraph of the letter, everyone in this building, including me, Senator, the governor, the leadership of the Senate and House, support not extending these. But we don't accept the money if we can't do it this way. So we have worked out a way for this state to get $133 million to put in the pockets of Missourians who are unemployed as part of that. If it doesn't work, it doesn't happen.
And I can support that, Senator. What I want to assurance of is that when these funds run out, that this body is not going to have to make a vote to end these extended benefits?
No, they end
automatically.
Yes. We would have to proactively renew, Senator. And I will not support that. It doesn't make sense to put this cost on Missouri business. That is the understanding of everybody. And Senator, at some point, I don't want to add more confusion. I asked Governor Nixon to have a letter to also place in the journal at some point. And the letter would be this letter. And if you have my assurance, it will not say to change our unemployment eligibility requirements only temporarily, and may receive the benefit of this unique opportunity to inject $130 million. My administration will take whatever steps are necessary to ensure our unemployment insurance system returns to its present state once the federal funds are depleted.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Does Senator wish to be heard on the motion of the Senator from Franklin? Seeing none, the Senator is recognized to close.
Close.
The Senator renews his motion. As many as are dependent, it shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The motion is agreed to. Senator from St. Francis.
Have conferees to read in.
We do, sir.
Would you do so?
Read the conferees.
Conference Committee appointments on Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1075 as amended. Senators Griesheimer, Root, Dempsey, Callahan, and Justice.
Is that it? Senator?
Thank you, Mr. President. Could you go to the Senator from Stoddard for a privilege motion.
Senator from Stoddard. Sir, you have a motion?
I do, Mr. President. I move that the Senate refuse to recede on Senate substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 46 and 434 and request the House take up and pass Senate substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 46 and 434.
So your motion is similar to the one made by Senator from Johnson. Does any senator wish to be heard? Senator from Cake. Senator from Cake.
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire the Senator from Stoddard.
Does the Senator yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Could you please remind me, sir, what this bill is?
That is the pro-life legislation.
Okay.
The voluntary and informed consent. The
okay.
bill that would make the present law stronger and more detailed.
I just couldn't remember the number. So as I understand it, last night, we worked out a deal in this body, sent that bill over. The House asked to go to conference, or did they ask us not to even go to conference, but just take up and pass their version?
They asked to go to conference,
okay.
I believe. I haven't actually talked to any of them.
Right. But at this point, as it relates to the informed consent bill, the pro-life informed consent bill, really, the only way to get that to go anywhere would be if the House took up and passed our version.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
To inquire of Senator Stein.
Does the Senator yield? Proceed.
I don't want to make this real long inquiry, but so we set the bill down the other end, and I hear rumors this morning that some of the so-called pro-life groups were down and actually working against the bill, trying to get it killed. And I just thought that was an interesting concept. And, you know, Senator, when I come up here, I thought the pro-life groups worked for lessening the amount of abortions in the state of Missouri, but I found that that's not necessarily the case. Some of them are more interested in the politics, raising money, and I know it's a terrible thing to say, but they want bills that would be vetoed so that we can embarrass people and do political victories, and sometimes I'm really disillusioned about their actions on abortion. It seems that they care less sometimes about the unborn baby's lives as they do making sure that they get their way on their bill as opposed to the the competing pro-life groups. And quite honestly, Senator, just sickens me.
Well, it is frustrating, you know, if you spend a couple of years working on this, trying to iron out details. You know, who knows what any individual's motives are, but what appears to be on the surface is something that just isn't right. But then again,
well, I want to thank you for your work on it. I know you did it
and try in an honorable fashion, try to get something that would lessen the amount of abortions that take place in the state of Missouri, but not stop the right of a woman that's truly seeking an abortion that wouldn't want to do it, and stay within the framework of the Supreme Court's ruling. But I just wanted to make comment. I just thought that was that just shows. I hope people out there, and if I find out for sure, I haven't had a chance to talk to members. They've just told me I want to know what groups, so that I can come here and tell which groups are trying to kill pro-life legislation, when in fact they portray themselves in the public to be a pro-life organization. Thank you for the inquiry, Senator.
Certainly.
Senator from the 10th.
Did inquire of the Senator from Stoddard.
Senator from Stoddard, do you yield?
Certainly.
He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Senator, I just wanted to make sure that I understand what your motion is. You are saying right now that we are sending the bill back, and they either have to pick it up and pass it, or they will kill the bill and it will be on their hands. Is that what you're saying?
That is correct.
And at this point, I think here in the legislature, I mean, we could pop up as senators and try to filibuster this motion that you've got on the floor right now, but you and I know that we've spent 2 years on this. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And
yeah, it's been 2 years.
I'd venture to say probably a couple hundred hours or more.
I would guess that's correct. Yesterday was a lot of a long day with a lot of hours spent on it.
And I think,
but that's the way the process works.
That's the way the process works.
And it's worked well in the past, and I still have confidence in the process, and that what needs to be passed will get passed.
I think so. Last night, I think both sides showed that we're able to sit down and come up with something that, while either side may not be incredibly happy with it, we both feel that it was something that we could sit down and stop our filibuster, and you all felt it was something that you could live with. And because of that, I'm not going to try to mess up the works here and filibuster your motion to send it back to the House, because I know that you all are trying to hold the Senate position.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I know last night I heard this through a third party. Did you feign your speech last night and the words that you said on the floor so that it would appear that you were angry, but really you were happy completely with the compromise that we'd worked out? Because I was told that was the case with you and the senator.
Senator,
24th, that you had snowed me, and so
Senator,
I just wanted to know if you showed me the corn and slipped me the cob last night.
Senator, do you think I really would have spent hundreds of hours locked in a room with you negotiating this bill if I didn't truly believe what I was fighting for?
Well, probably not.
All right. Well, thank you, Senator.
I don't want to surmise on that, but I'm going to say probably not.
All right. Well, Senator, I think we both know.
Well, thanks for answering that question.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to make sure I'd been shown the corn slip the cut.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
We're on the motion of the Senator from Stoddard. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Madam Secretary, the voice vote. All those in favor of the motion, the Senator from Stoddard, say aye. Those opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the motion, the Senator from Stoddard. Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could you recognize the Senator from St. Charles for a privileged motion? Then we'll go to the Senator from Buchanan, because I think he's going to take a little longer. Senator from St. Charles.
Senator from St. Charles.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a privileged motion.
State your motion.
I move that the Senate refuse to receive from its position on the Senate substitute for House Bill 390 and grant the House a conference thereon.
I heard the motion from the Senator from St. Charles. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from Clay, for what purpose do you seek?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to inquire of the Senator from the 2nd.
You yield, Senator.
I yield.
He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
What
the
is it?
The immigration bill had a couple little fixes. We just have there was a problem with the one sentence we need to kind of go in and take out.
And you're,
we can all hug and be happy.
And you're saying that you want the House to
go to conference.
You want the House. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all we're doing. Immigration. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
No problem.
Any other senator wish to speak on this motion of the senator from the 2nd? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized.
I close, Mr. President.
Heard the motion of the senator from the 2nd. All those in favor of that motion say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from St. Francis.
President, do we have some conferees to read in?
We do have.
It goes in.
Please read the conferees.
Conference Committee Appointments on Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 390. Senators Roop, Schaefer, Schmidt, McKenna, and Green.
Senator from Tate.
Or the Senator from St. Francis.
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield? He yields, Senator.
Senator, thank you for yielding, and I'm just trying to procedurally. As you understand it, when we read those conferees in, the House is ultimately able to receive those.
That's my understanding from their officials who are out in the lobby a few seconds.
Okay. So as they receive those, now that the House is adjourned, we can do the conference thing. And as long as those people that we are hearing names get appointed now, drop that conference committee report before midnight tonight.
That is my understanding of it from the House rules that they was as told to us right. By the floor leader and
okay.
Their attorney.
Then we should be in a position to be able to take those up tomorrow night.
I hope
not tomorrow night, but tomorrow.
Tomorrow during the day.
Yeah. Or if we don't adjourn, just today.
May.
It may roll in.
It may be.
To the 15th.
I hate
Thank
to
you.
Think that, but yeah.
Thank
right.
you, Senator.
Mr. President, could you go to the Senator from Buchanan for a privileged motion?
Senator from Buchanan.
Been waiting so long, I'm just not even sure I'm in the mood anymore. Mr. President, I would move that House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 291 be brought before the body for third reading and final passage.
I've heard the motion of the Senator from Buchanan. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senators, before this.
Thank you, Mr. President. First step in this process is to move for the adoption of the House Committee Substitute.
Yes, Senator from Buchanan has moved for the adoption of the House Committee Substitute. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion?
Mr. President?
Oh, Senator, would you like to explain it?
Well, briefly, Mr. President, this is the tree-killing education bill that is at some point, remember, it started out as a half-page bill, had gone to 300 pages at one point during the process. We're down now to a House Committee Substitute. With 77 pages and two additional pages that were House amendments that were put on the floor to the House Committee Substitute. For the most part, it maintains the bulk of what was in the Senate Substitute that was passed on the floor of this body. I'd be happy to discuss with any of the sponsors of those pieces of legislation. The changes, there are some additions that were made as well on the House side, and would be happy to discuss any of those in detail if folks would like to visit with me about that.
Does any senator wish to speak on the motion, Senator from Buchanan? The senator from Tate, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire the senator from Buchanan.
Senator, do you yield?
I do.
To yield, Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. And I haven't had a chance to read this,
okay.
So I apologize. What is in it?
Okay. The
I don't know if you have, like, the senator from the 8th likes the chart, if you could.
If I can read through
okay.
it real
quick. Yeah, if you would, please. I mean, my only concern, Senator, at one time I heard this bill had a $400 million fiscal note
yep.
associated with it.
Yeah, here's, let me walk through what is now in the bill. The changes, and we'll start from the Senate Substitute to pass this body.
Okay.
We had a version, this is House language, that has the Joint Committee on Education setting the governance of urban school districts.
And the Joint Committee, not DESE, is going to be the one that does that.
I was insistent everywhere in this as we talked that it is the Joint Committee on Education doing these studies, not DESE.
And I agree with you.
Okay. I had former legislators, now lobbyists, trying to convince me that DESE could be doing these studies.
And they would have never done it when they were in the
That was the question I said. Yes. I said, would you have done this when you were in the body?
Right.
And the answer was no. We add the general election day in Tuesday of this year, in November, as a general election day to use for debt service.
On the local school board.
On the local school board. Right.
That.
So a school district can run debt service in an election this November and do that with a 4-7 vote.
Why would we do that?
I believe the existing law that there are, I have to go back in my memory, right. But there are certain dates you can run debt service elections and accomplish that with a 4-7 vote, and there are, if you run them other than those dates, you have to have a 2/3 vote.
Right, and 4/7 is less than 2/3.
Yes.
So basically, instead of waiting until February, we're going to allow them to do it in November.
I believe that's accurate.
Okay, so do we have any?
I don't.
Is it a bond rating thought that it could be cheaper?
I would assume that looking. And I'm just assuming this
right,
is house
right.
language. I don't know the reason behind this. I don't object
okay.
to it, but I
right.
assume somebody was looking at the climate for issuing debt and thought that November was going to be a better
fair
climate
enough.
Than.
Fair enough.
We had language in there on seclusion rooms. We went with the house language.
That deals with that covered by the, really brought to our attention by the senator from the 15th that was in his district. Where
senator
from
the 2nd, I don't remember.
Yeah, I think the senator from the 15th talked. That's okay. Where learning disabled children or special needs children were basically put in solitary confinement.
Yeah, and
okay.
the essence of it is that you could only put a child in a seclusion room if they were a harm to themselves or potentially a harm to others.
Understood.
Okay.
Fair enough. And you feel comfortable with the House's version
yeah.
of that?
And it was vetted by the legal eagles out of the education community.
Fair enough.
Missouri Senior Cadet Program, the senator from the 9th had that. All we did was add subject to appropriation.
What was that called again?
Missouri Senior Cadet Program.
Okay, so that's subject to appropriation.
Subject to appropriation.
Fair enough.
The school flex program, this is house language, allows students to graduate earlier if they have credit behind them. Again, that's house
okay.
language.
Is that Representative Maynard Wallace's language on the requirement, or have we not gotten
we haven't got to that point yet.
Okay,
I'll provide clarity
yeah.
on that.
We've had some visitors today.
Amazingly so.
Yeah.
We need to keep the conversations going so the senators can hear each other. Proceed, Senator.
The persistence to graduation fund, Senator from the 24th, we took her language in the Senate substitute, added subject to appropriation.
So that's now
subject
to appropriation. All right, so we're getting down from that $400 million fiscal limit.
Right. The volunteer and parents incentive program, Senator from the 14th language, added subject to appropriation. On that.
Further reducing
the fiscal.
$400 million fiscal.
Parents' Bill of Rights. We used the House version on that. Again, that was an issue where not great disagreement about what's in it, but they thought from a legal standpoint it made sense to do that. I believe also who you distribute that to is in that Blue Springs School District. Remember, they have an issue with clarity around peace officers and who works in the district, because the district has 4 municipalities in it. There was some house language that clarified that.
Fair enough.
There was some house language dealing with when you have school district boundary lines that are in dispute, and you have to send that to arbitration.
We've had that in my neck of the woods.
You know, it is. I've been on a school board. We've had areas. Everybody thinks there's this magic map somewhere about
yeah.
school district boundary lines, that there's a master map, and everybody automatically knows. I can assure you there's not.
Yeah.
When they become disputes, since it's arbitration, but also says in that arbitration they can take into account transportation issues, you know, which is closer.
How about can they take into account where the child or student is currently going to school?
I don't believe that is the count. Let me read.
Okay.
Under the current law, when a board of arbitration is appointed to determine whether to modify the boundary lines between school districts, the board must base its decision in part on the presence of actual educational harm to the children. So I guess that would be
a factor.
I think that's
yeah,
existing
changing
law,
the school district.
Yeah, if it would deter the child damage due to a significant difference in time involved in transporting them, this act defines significant difference in time involved in transporting students as a difference of 45 minutes or more per trip in travel time.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay.
So fair enough. I appreciate that.
There's clearly some issue out there. Somebody's trying to.
Well, I could explain. We had that in Bollinger County, and that.
We had one when I was on the school board. We had a. Not taking much time.
I'm not trying to do that. Please no.
We had a neighborhood.
I get accused of filibustering.
We had a neighborhood. We didn't know where the line was.
Yeah.
And we basically said, we don't care where you go. You can go to school, either school district.
Right.
Wherever you go, let's notify the assessor and collector that
right.
money
exactly.
goes to that.
Exactly.
So
fair enough.
Usually they can work it out,
yeah.
but apparently there's
fair
times
enough.
They can't. The foster care education bill of rights, and this is not my area of expertise,
right.
but
either.
We went with the House version. The Educrats believe that somehow was a better and cleaner version that makes sense. Physical activity requirements. Remember, the senator from the 5th District had physical education requirements in there.
And I don't mean to belabor it, but just a funny story.
Okay.
You know, the senator from the 5th can do twice as many push-ups in 2 minutes as the current Attorney General of the state of Missouri. I saw it happen one evening. As an aside.
Well, you asked me before if something would shock me. That would not. That would not shock me.
Fair enough. Sorry. Is that subject to appropriation?
Well.
Or is there any GR at risk?
There's no GR.
Oh, okay.
The issue was that under the legislation last year, they had to take physical ed so many hours a week or minutes a week or whatever, and had to be taught by a phys ed teacher. Okay, and the problem was there weren't enough phys ed teachers in K-12 education in the state to meet a requirement. This has to do with having the actual activity and defined that heart rate has to be at a certain level in that activity. So
understood.
Somebody's got to take them out at recess and run them around the track or something.
Every
so often. Employee background check and fingerprint records, those are transferable. That was in the there is a...
So you don't have to pay the fee over and over
right.
again to do the same thing.
I believe that to be the case.
Right.
A biggie, narrowly defeated in this body was passed in the House, and I'm kind of okay with it, is the 4-day school week.
40 days?
4-day school week.
Oh, so that is in here.
That is in this.
Wow.
Version.
4-day school week.
Yeah. And, you know, my philosophy on that, whether you like it or not, most candidates for the state legislature run on the issue of local control.
Sure.
That's local control.
And ultimately, so I understand that, it's the local school board that makes that. All we're doing as a General Assembly is authorizing that.
That's correct.
Now, do we take any changes in the average daily attendance? Are there any effects in the formula if you, as a school district, do adopt the 4 days?
My understanding is it will not have an effect on the formula.
Okay. So if it saves money, it doesn't save the state money. It saves the local school district money to spend how they want.
Well, in theory, it would save the state because whatever portion of the transportation we pay on the transportation category should be less.
Well, but you... So that will affect the formula.
It'll affect the transportation categorical.
Well, it's a line item.
Which is not in our formula.
Yeah, I don't think it's categorical anymore. I think it's a line item.
I always call it categorical.
Yeah, that we don't fully fund anymore. I think we're right around
75%. We're down around 55 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So, so hopefully that calculation will save the state money.
Right.
As it relates to the 4-day school week.
Although it'll be minuscule because I really don't anticipate more than one or two school districts doing this.
Yeah, I agree. I've talked to my brother at length about that. They don't understand how they could do extracurricular activities at a school if they go to a 4-day school week.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that is important to schools, but
they have all Friday to work on the game plan.
Yeah, there you go. Good point. So that's in there.
That's in there.
Okay.
Made permanent the resolution on inclement weather and snow days.
And that is so we don't have to continually come back?
Yeah, every year.
Every year we introduce
that. Yeah, I was actually one of the early ones to carry one of these bills, and Senator Staples actually was my Senate handler for that because we had so much snow up in our neck of the woods.
Was that before or after electricity, Senator?
That was right about the onset
okay.
of
Fantastic.
Rural electrification. So. Then we took out the Senator from the second had some language about 14-day notice on school choice options. That sent
federal mandate.
The Educrats into orbit. The mission language, Senator Clay, that went out of that. The school building repair section, that they had repairs. You had capital, and your language just took all that out because it doesn't appear that we're going to have any money.
So nothing in
that. Nothing in that.
Okay. So we don't change that at all.
Right. We didn't.
Okay.
I mean, we just took a section. So that school building revolving fund.
Correct.
Is there and unfunded.
So it remains current statute. You did not repeal that.
I just took our language out, so
okay.
that would leave that in place.
So existing statute applies.
Yeah. And this one I frankly was okay about, but and I warned people. I said there's going to be mad mothers all across the state. But we took out the gifted section on because it depends on who you talk to. It either cost money or didn't cost money, but some thought it cost as much as $30 million.
Well, and in all fairness, I mean, I am one of those, and I talked to you, and I appreciate that. We do have another provision of the formula that's going to go, and it was our intention, as I recall, you were the author of the formula, but to put that money for gifted into
the calculation.
Calculation.
Okay. And I appreciate you saying that because I want to be very clear. Nobody will listen to this, but I'll say it one more time because I said it 3 years ago, 4 years ago when we passed the formula. We did not take money away from gifted education. We took the money that was going to gifted education, gave it to the school districts, and said, if you want to fund gifted, you can fund gifted. If you don't want to fund gifted, that's your decision. We don't necessarily agree with it, but that's your decision.
Local
control. Everybody went out in the gifted community out there and said, why did you take our money away? And I said, well, I didn't take your money away. I said, I gave the decision to your local school board. Well, they don't listen to us. I said, well.
Elect the school board.
Yeah. I mean, the government that governs closest, people governs best.
Absolutely.
You fix it.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
And I believe that's fair because in my neck of the woods, instead of having a line item for transportation funding, I think you would then see us come back wanting a categorical for transportation again.
Right. So.
So, I mean, it doesn't end.
So that's out of there. And the last piece in the Senate version that went out is the Senator from Powell, that issue of trying to bring school districts together to build the central 8 high school that was shared, I think if I'm describing that properly. And there was no resolution on that.
Okay.
And Senator from Powell put up a good fight, talked with the Representative Wallace, who also represents Fort
right.
Powell, and I think their conclusion was that they weren't going to reach a resolution on it.
Live to fight another day.
That's it.
Okay. What did the House put in? That was what was kept from the Senate? What did
no, I just looked at everything.
What was the whole issue then where the homeschoolers came up here today, and how was that resolved?
The sorry. This is on the House Committee Subject. Two amendments on there. Representative Wallace wanted to put in, right now, mandatory age attendance, you know, if state schools are 16. He wanted to do it so you had 16 credits. The homeschoolers somehow took that as the idea that it would affect that mandatory age of attendance would affect them and they wouldn't be able to do what. I didn't quite buy that, but to clarify that, we said 16 credits or the age of 17 as compulsory age of attendance and clarified that the only authority that had weight in these matters was local prosecuting attorney.
Do we know if that satisfies the advocates for the homeschool?
To my understanding, it does.
Okay. Because I believe in homeschool. It's maybe not a choice I would make, but I believe in the ability to have that choice.
As do I.
And I don't want to negate that, but is to best of your knowledge, as you stand here today, that should take away, because we had a few visitors today. At the Capitol, and
Representative Wallace
okay.
came over and said that fixed the problem with it.
Okay. All right. Have you
had any conversations with advocates of homeschoolers that say, okay, we're satisfied now?
I have not. I had a discussion with an advocate for the organization before that. Said he was going. I said, Govern. Said I. He asked me if I would take a House amendment for him. And I said, well, obviously it's not my decision, but I said I would be supportive and
sure.
I said, just fix it because I'm in the same position you were, that you know, I want to keep the homeschoolers happy.
Understood.
And
I think I'm going to inquire the senator from the seventh and the senator from the first.
She's nodding her head that she believes that resolves the situation.
Okay. Anything else, amendments or otherwise?
I think that's it.
Talk about it. Thank you very much, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from Cape, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from the 7th, if I may.
Senator from the 7th, do you yield?
I do.
Senator, I don't
senator,
know if you've heard.
Proceed.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, thank you for yielding. I don't know if you heard the discussion I had with the senator from Buchanan, but we kind of went over what stayed in this bill, what didn't. Mm-hmm. Of interest to me in particular was at one time I heard the bill had a $400 million fiscal note. And I was making sure that those programs that did survive conference were actually, or not even conference, I guess, were trimmed down because they procedurally sent it to the Rules Committee. Rules Committee threw a lot of stuff off, brought it back out, passed it, so we're not really in conference. It's a way to go to conference, I guess, now that we have the Rules Committee in the House. The fiscal note was in check, which it sounds like it is, because they put subject to appropriations on many of it.
They did. I know one of their goals was to really trim it down financially.
Right, right. And I do need to inquire of the senator from Buchanan at some point, because did we do the Prop 8 fix in here?
Yes,
okay, I don't remember doing the Prop 8 fix and discussing that. So, okay. All right. Sorry. We may need to just... Okay, we just may need to read. I just wanted to find that. So,
they allow three-way inquiries.
All right, I understand. And so, Senator, my direct questions to you then would be, I think you were successful in getting some reforms on this bill.
Yes, I'm very glad.
Educational reforms.
Yes.
If you could briefly refresh my recollection on what those were and if they are in this version now.
Yes, they are in this version. Probably the most momentous one was that for the first time in the state of Missouri, we got merit pay. And the senator from Buchanan and I had a discussion on the floor about it and decided to put it as a pilot in St. Louis. And so we now have a merit pay plan that can go into effect in the city of St. Louis public schools.
Subject to appropriation?
No, it's $5 million.
So it's got $5 million, not subject to appropriation?
I'd have to look at that and make sure. If it's a subject to, actually it probably is, but I don't want to state specifically without.
Yeah, if you kept it in your version that went on the bill, it was subject to appropriation.
Okay, then
unless you took that out.
I did not.
Okay, all right.
That's exactly right.
Okay, and anything else?
Yes, with that, just so you know, it allows the teacher to opt out of their permanent tenure contract, opt into merit. So it puts them on a track where value added and the student performance will be significant in their increase in pay. And I think all of us want to increase teachers' salary, particularly those who are high performers and doing a really good job. Secondly, it allows, we do have a course in the state of Missouri that is required for graduation. It's a personal finance course.
Right.
And a lot of the school districts have been having a hard time finding teachers that are qualified to teach those courses, and so it allows our bankers and financial experts in this state to be able to be certified to teach this course. Another thing was kind of a piggyback on the senator from Kansas City, can't remember her district, but foster care children. It actually goes along with her concern about them being able to be facilitated in the public school system and have someone help them through it, make sure their records get there. But it also goes into actually allowing foster children to be able to select a school district that is working for them from either their home district where they started, the district where they are, or any school where they have been placed.
Okay.
And then it also, another one of mine, requires that the special school district accept the virtual school program.
Okay. Anything else?
Not mine personally.
Okay. I'm sorry, what was that?
Not mine personally.
I think the senator from the 4th had something about incentive pay for math and science at one time. Did that stay in? And why I'm asking, I consider you a leader, a mm-hmm. friend, an ally as it relates to educational reform.
Yes.
And I'm just trying to see how well we did, because I think we had a pretty successful evening on the Senate version, and I don't know what the House accepted.
They kept all our strong reforms, and I am very encouraged. I think it was a momentous year, more than I have ever seen in 9 years added together that I've been here as far as educational reform.
Congratulations, Senator.
Thank you.
And thank you for your efforts on that front. Mm-hmm. Last question.
Mm-hmm.
Homeschoolers.
Yes. Did we get
yay or nay?
Yay or nay. We got it. And I can actually read that to you if you would like to hear it.
I don't need to know the language, Senator. As I said, I consider you an ally, a friend, and a leader in educational reform. If you can tell me we fixed the homeschoolers issue, good deal. Otherwise, I'm not going home at the end of session.
We did fix
the I'm going to go someplace else.
We did fix the homeschool issues. They are very satisfied and thrilled with what we did. And one other major reform that I can't believe I failed to mention is the Senator from Stoddard's amendment that went on, that stayed on, to set up a study for open enrollment. Major reform.
There. By the Joint Committee.
Yes, by the Joint Committee.
Right.
And it did come back to the Joint Committee.
Do we know if we got to keep Representative Hoskins' amendment that said if you don't accept these students under those circumstances, then you got to at least put it in writing that you're rejecting them, and why?
That was a very good amendment. It went on to the original House version that died in that first vote, so I don't think it made it onto the end.
Okay.
We need to get that done next year.
Okay, understood.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for the inquiry, Senator. Mr. President, if I could inquire of the Senator from Buchanan again. Briefly, I apologize because I need to understand what we did.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield? I think when we have to have unanimous consent for a second inquiry, or not, if that means. Yeah.
I don't think that's in the rules. That's not in the rules. It's for me to speak again.
Senator.
I need you there.
Making up my own rules.
Yeah. Thank you, Senator, and I'm sorry I didn't ask this before. We went over before what was in the House version that was in the House Committee substitute and then the House amendments that you passed.
And the changes.
And the changes in the Senate version.
Right.
But we didn't go over what the Senate did pass.
Right.
It, which stayed. And that's my question.
Well, by default, I did.
Right.
Because
okay.
I went over everything that changed. The big differences were the...
I guess just the Prop 86, then, or what we didn't address.
The issues that we took subject to appropriation.
Okay.
The programs made them subject to appropriations. Took some versions of, for example, foster care, educational rights.
Understood.
Took the House version on that.
Yeah.
And then removed the 14-day notice... school choice option, initial language, the school building repair fund or revolving fund or whatever.
Okay.
Gifted weight out of the formula and the House County language.
Okay.
Left.
What about the Prop A fix?
The Prop A fix is in there.
And how did we address that again, if you could?
All we did in this bill was take out the gifted.
Okay.
Categorical. Everything
okay.
else stays.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. And as I understand it now, and this is important, as I understand it, we are in a position of having to do the Prop 8 funding because we actually spent the money in two contingent upon this passing.
I've talked to one of the appropriators, but I believe that's...
Yeah, that's my understanding. My final question... is did we do anything for the senator from the 13th on his Riverview Garden?
Kept his language intact.
Okay. So his language is intact to do that one deal. That had about, was that a 13, 6, 7 or $8 million fiscal note? We've got about a $40 million fiscal note as it relates to the Prop A, or not Prop A, well, I'll call it the Prop,
Prop A fix.
As it relates to changing the adequacy target number, removing the cap on that,
Am I right about what the fiscal note is in this? Is it under $50 million? Is it over
$50 million? Well, Mickey believes it ends up with a positive fiscal note.
Well, that's because you score the...
Gaming revenues probably more than they are. But.
Well, but my understanding, and I could read the latest quotes, only $30 million has come in, not the $130 million. If you get rid of the gaming, what are the new cost drivers on this? Do you know?
Well, I think all the formula fix out of it. Okay.
The formula fix out of it.
Yeah, the property
the gaming money.
Take that out of
because
it.
Because we were scoring credit for the repeal of Lawson.
Yeah. There's not a lot of big cost drivers in it. The all the things that listed the subject to appropriation would be there.
That has a zero fiscal note.
Yeah, essentially we had an A-plus school fix because I don't remember what happened, but 16 community colleges got thrown out.
Okay.
So potentially if you add more places for those with A-plus colleges.
But we did not put A++.
We did not put A++ in, although I think that's a good idea.
I do too. Just as gifted, we just can't afford it.
Again, the other funds were subject to appropriation. Maybe... I can't picture parents' bill of rights costing a whole bunch. I mean, school districts will have to implement that. Digital records for schools, that's Senate the 14th, that's probably no big deal. Just not a lot of cost drivers in this. Maybe that's a little bit of that open enrollment for foster care, but I don't see that being a big deal. That just moves money around. I don't know if it adds money. Virtual education, which was the underlying bill, shouldn't be a big deal. Maybe elimination of the summer school penalty.
Elimination of summer school penalty.
Yeah, remember that we had that phased out. It was going to, in existing law, it had a sunset on it, remove that sunset a year early.
So they're
going
to let them double count summer school again?
Yeah, no, frankly, I can't remember that. It's how we ended that up, and it was supposed to phase out. It was the phasing. They were in the double count situation. We phased them out of the double count.
And now we're going to
I think we eliminate that phase in 1 year sooner, I believe.
So it should have a positive.
I believe so.
All right. So between me and you, because this is maybe the first inquiry you and I ever had with Representative Rand. What was it, Randolph? What was his name? That was up north in your neck of the woods, the former superintendent up there.
Relford.
Randall Relford.
Yep.
Where he wanted to continue to double count summer school, and I thought that was nuts.
Yeah.
And we're not going back to those days of double counting summer school.
I'd have to go back and look at that language. Riverview Gardens.
Okay.
That does cost money.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The center from the 13th pestered me on a daily basis about that. Merit pay for St. Louis School District, that teacher choice compensation.
So that's not subject to approach?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
And that will cost some money.
Okay.
Potentially that change in compulsory age of attendance could add some ADA to the deal. Is that it shouldn't cost anything because doesn't have to be certificated teachers.
Right.
So those would be, I think those would be the things that would potentially cost.
And the biggest being removing the cap on the adequacy target number.
Yep.
That had $40 million cost driver.
That's 5%.
Right. And so we're doing the Riverview Gardens. We're doing the merit pay. Would it be a fair calculation? And I understand the scoring that Mickey did by giving us credit for the repeal of loss limit. But would it be fair to say, ballpark, this has under a $50 million fiscal note or over a $50 million fiscal note?
I would, assuming the fact that he thinks it's positive based on
that
gaming revenues. But I don't know whether he may have taken that into account.
Yeah. He may have
when he looked at that.
Because the gaming revenues are dramatically lower than what they were projected.
Clearly, he's pulling the same numbers that we're seeing from
Right.
So he may have taken that account because I don't have the true fiscal note. This was a conversation that he had with staff that he thought.
It still had a positive
yeah.
when you,
so,
you know, because I think in your own neck of the woods, the stjoenews.net said, careful what you promise. And there they said, current projections drawing in actual revenues through April suggest that the state's proceeds from the repeal of the loss limit will likely increase only by $30 million this year, dramatically below the $100 to $130 million in new revenue that had been projected and advertised before the loss limit repeal.
But if we would have passed it when I proposed it,
exactly.
It would have been $100 million because I proposed it during good times.
Fair enough, Senator. And as you know, I didn't oppose it then. I think we had problems with the senator from the 13th and the senator from the
8th. I had multiple problems.
Fair enough. And I appreciate the inquiry. In closing.
You forgot to ask one thing.
What did I ask?
You didn't ask me if QRS was in it.
No, I knew that was that.
Okay.
I found that out before you brought it to the floor. But I just want to say in closing, who does all your prep work? Because that's fantastic, the information that you get.
Emily, right over there.
Emily, you do a phenomenal job in the ability to get the senator from Buchanan prepared to answer questions. I would ask that in the interim, you hold a workshop. So maybe all of our individuals can learn from you, Emily, in being able to get information ready. Because the senator from Buchanan, every time that I inquire of him, has all of the information, and I really, really do appreciate that. So, great job, and thank you, Senator. Very good.
Thank you, Mr. President.
First one seeking recognition was Senator from the 15th. What purpose do you rise?
To fire the senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield?
Yes.
He yields. You may proceed.
One, I have just had a brief inquiry on some of that prep work he's been doing. On, and I appreciate the parents' bill of rights, which is an amendment that I put on, remaining in the bill, which will allow parents who have children with special needs in their IEPs,
right.
I think, to be better informed of what their rights are. There is one question I have, though, in what came out of the House and ultimately what we've got before us, which is a bit of a difference. On page 29, line 51, the previous section 3, one of the issues that we dealt with in working with a lot of the stakeholders on this to make this palatable was how do we get, currently you have this this manual that's given to parents, it's like 39 pages of what their rights are, which just isn't realistic for people, I don't think, to digest all that. And the timing of that was, I viewed as a little problematic. So we've got this kind of parents' bill of rights that acts as sort of a cover page for the larger document with a fuller explanation of those legal rights and procedures. The one issue that came up was the timing. When is that distributed? And we wanted to comply with all federal and state laws, and we did that. But being cognizant of the fact that we didn't want to add a great expense of a separate mailing, where we ended up was, okay, what was the time to give it to parents? And sort of when the child is diagnosed is where we landed, which I think makes a lot of sense because it happens 3-4 weeks before the IEP meeting anyway.
Right.
But so Section 3 spells that out. Section 4, though, there's this last line, and I just want to get your input because this is the first time I've seen it, on how this developed in conference. It says that the department shall promulgate rules and regulations necessary to the implement the provisions of this section, including but not limited to the manner in which the publication described in this section shall be distributed. Even though we have the method spelled out in Section 3, clearly the statute would override the rule.
Right.
And so I suppose in JCAR that issue could be addressed if there's some conflict there, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, you remember you got shot at everything in JCAR. On these rules, and what I would offer up that in that process, as you go through the rulemaking process on the distribution of this material, while sub 3 would be, in general, describe it, the rules would probably be more prescriptive in the exact
way the document is provided to the parent. You know, is that provided, is it, you know, given by whoever did the testing? Is it given by the counselor?
Right.
Who provides it? When? You know, how do you acknowledge receipt of it? I would assume that would be the kind of things that would be placed in those rules.
Yeah. Well, and again, I'm very thankful it's in here, and I don't have any reason to doubt or be suspicious of that last line.
Yeah. And we went back and asked folks on your section was one of the sections we asked the departments and also the School Board Association, Mike Reed, specifically, go look at this and tell us exactly what the right language is and should be on this to make this workable.
Okay. Well, I know one of the concerns was that we didn't want to do anything in our statute that was flew in the face of what, because really, an individual.
The IT.
Those are all federal
yep.
issues, really. And so really what we were saying, we weren't going to add anything to it. We weren't taking anything away. We just wanted a clear, concise description of what
yep.
that was for parents. So,
yeah. And as you know, that unfortunately some of those, not the majority of the time, but sometimes that involves into a legal battle about, you know, getting services per child. And I would assume that at that point, that's why you want to make sure that you have the right mechanism to get the
sure.
material to the parent, and you can account that it was actually provided to them.
Well, and I think one of the benefits of this, too, the practical effect would be that I just think more information on the front end alleviates some of those concerns, or to the extent there is an adversarial, and I'm not saying that there is, because I've been through these, they're not, but
yep.
when people know going in what their rights are as opposed to they go in, they get the information, room full of people. I just think that goes a long way in opening the lines of communication. So I think it's great that's in here. I just had a question on a technical point.
Yeah, I spent many years on a school board, and my impression would be that the more informed the parent was in these, the better the outcome for the child.
Right.
And some parents were very well informed about their rights. And some weren't, and you know, it went on until eventually Missouri Protection and Advocacy came in, and you know, then we had Protection and Advocacy's lawyers talking to the lawyers in the school district, and that generally wasn't a particularly productive process. It was expensive. And if we would have had parents better informed, and if the school district had a mechanism to help them be better informed right up front, they probably would have had a better outcome.
Well, I just want to thank you and the other members of the conference committee for keeping this in. I just think it's a big positive step in allowing parents to be better informed
right.
and all the people that help work on this. So thank you.
Senator from Green, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire of the Senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield?
I do.
Senator, I heard you mention that the A++ was out of the bill, but I'm not clear what that amounts to. Tell me what, if any, changes we're doing in the A+ program.
Well, we fixed in A+, but for some reason, I don't know what it was. There were some community colleges that got left out or taken out in their eligibility, and we fixed that. But the bigger issue, and I thought this would have been a huge step in the right direction. I'm frankly disappointed it didn't happen. It had a big fiscal note, was that we would have made the A+ school scholarship or the A+ scholarship available to all students coming out of high school that met certain requirements, regardless of whether they went to an A+ school or not.
And that didn't stay in.
That did not stay
in.
Well, I'm disappointed too. And then A++ would have been, after you completed the first 2 years and met certain requirements, grade point average, then you would qualify for a scholarship for years 3 and 4 of your education.
Well, I'm not sorry that didn't fit in.
Well, but, you know, if you believe that providing opportunity for higher education for students in Missouri is a good thing, I mean, this would have been a nice touch.
Well.
And I will contend,
I don't understand. I think.
So what did?
I think we're one. Can I get on my soapbox for a second? I think we're one lawsuit away from A-plus being challenged. And I don't understand how, if you, under equal protection, a child who goes to school in one district can get a free college education.
I agree with you.
And a child in another district. But even worse than that, children in the same school district, some high schools qualify and others don't,
well, Senator,
can get
I
a free college education.
And I think the same thing could happen with 4 years of tuition paid, that if you go to a junior college or a technical college, and I think that was the point, is it would be a two-year program, that only the students who go to those schools get all 4 years. And I can foresee a lot of students starting in a junior college or a technical college simply because it's the only way to get all 4 years paid. So I don't feel quite the same about that as you do. But so we really didn't make many changes in the A+.
Nope.
Okay, one other question, Senator. What about your 5-star rating for the daycare?
It fell out on the House side, knowing that I probably couldn't keep it on the Senate side.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Inquire the Senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield?
I do.
You yield, Senator. You may proceed.
Senator, a quick statement. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Senator from Boone, for what reason do you seek?
Inquire the Senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield?
I do.
You yield, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. This is an important bill. We need to get to it, so I'm not going to tie much time. But I did want to ask you the weight for the gifted that the Senator from the 25th had put in there. That came out, didn't it?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to comment. I think that's unfortunate, and I think we've had this discussion before. I think we don't put enough resources towards the kids on that end of the spectrum.
Let me get on my soapbox here again, because I'm telling you that if anybody says the monies that were going to gifted kids are not going to gifted kids because of the state legislatures, are wrong.
No, I understand that, and I agree with you on that point. But I think it's an issue that we're going to have to come back and look at. But I did have a question.
I supported it. I was fine with it.
I know.
But
and on the gaming money, have we actually seen an official projection from the Gaming Commission on what that's projected to be?
I have not, but I have no problem believing that the revenues are down from those projections.
I would assume they would be, and I know that the executive director made some statements to the media in the last week or two that looks like it's been, $30 million, but that's not for a full year, right? That's just for 7 months in December.
Well, yeah. I mean, it passed in November, was certified shortly thereafter, and almost immediately when it was certified, they took the loss on us off. So,
as I said, I don't want to tie it up. I know we've got to get this bill out. It's an important bill, but I wanted to express that concern. And I think it's something we're going to be coming back to. So
well,
thank you, Senator.
Like I say, happy to revisit it in the future.
Thanks, Senator.
We're on the motion. Senator from Dent was the first one I saw seeking recognition.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I inquire briefly of the Senator from the 24th?
Senator from the 24th. Senator from the 24th, do you yield to the Senator from Dent?
I yield.
She yields, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator. Just very quickly, I don't want to take much time here because it's an issue that I don't fully understand, and maybe you can enlighten me a little bit, but I think the Senator from the 7th said one of the big changing things in this bill was the first time for merit pay. But if I remember some conversations that we've had from the past, I think you've got a school district
right.
that already has allowed
yes.
that.
The Ladue School District is already doing merit pay. They worked it out with their teachers, which is the way you do a merit pay system that works. You negotiate with your teachers, you work it all out, and it works fine. That's okay. The way it's done in the successful places around the country. And we've got it right in St. Louis County in my district.
So how does it work exactly? How do they put that in or make that work?
Well, it's a part of the system that they have negotiated, and there's certain criteria, and they just they put it together with the administrators and the teachers, and I don't know the details of it except that there are
there are, you know, certain criteria that they meet and bumps them up.
Okay. I think that the senator from the 7th is back. I think that she may have served on a board or something that dealt with it. If I can, I'll inquire of her briefly.
Okay. And I guess the thing about, you know, the point that needs to be keep being made about merit pay is that there are successful places around the country. It is becoming more of a thing that districts and teachers are talking about. But it's a cooperative thing. It's something that's agreed on so teachers buy into it in terms of believing in it and understanding it and being part of crafting it. Not state legislatures aren't going around imposing it on districts just because they want to be, you know, punitive and
okay.
And
I'm not sure that I'm going to need to inquire ever then, but
so
the way that it was done was it was local control. I mean, they did it among their own.
Yeah.
And that was directly between their teachers and the school board.
Right.
And they made the determinations of what needed to be done.
Right.
What the criteria was. Is there a national criteria?
I don't think so.
Okay, so they set up the criteria and it was all done locally.
Right.
And is have you seen the language here? Does that allow for the same?
Pardon me?
Have you seen the language in 291 on that issue?
Oh, it's very prescriptive and imposing, you know, on the St. Louis School District. Very, you know, tells them exactly how to do it. And,
okay.
You know, there's
less latitude than
it's the state legislature playing big brother and with a big heavy hand.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Senator from 14th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, I'd like to inquire the senator from Buchanan, please.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield to the senator from 14th?
Yes.
He yields. Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you very much. Senator, I wanted to say, first of all, thank you very much for shepherding this bill through. There are a couple of things in here that were extremely important to me. First of all, being the Riverview Gardens fix, you recognize, as I do, that district has been plagued with a number of maladies, and hopefully this will get them, at least get them to even keel so that they can move forward and create the kind of district that we want. The senator from the 13th and I both share that district, and I'm not sure if he had a chance to say anything. I was outside there, but I did want to make sure that I let you know that. Also, the formula fix in this particular bill, extremely important. I think school districts like mine will benefit tremendously from that, and not having that in there would probably cause a budgetary snafu in years to come. I won't be here probably when that happens, but, you know, but it will. But those are the two things, along with the school records. I just really want, I know that, you know, one time it was dead. You know, it's like the phoenix. It has arisen from the ashes. And so I just wanted to say thank you, you know, for your tenacity in making sure this moves forward. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
President.
We're on the motion. The senator from Canada. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you recognize the close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just real briefly, before I close on the House Committee substitute, I have to give a little bit of credit, where credit's due. Representative Wallace worked very hard on this, and was, I'm sure, frustrated when this thing went down in defeat on the House floor. He didn't take no for an answer and went back and said, okay, what can we put together? And we met and we worked on this, and this is the result of that work. So I appreciate his efforts. And with that, I would renew my motion,
Senator,
for the adoption of the House Committee substitute.
Senator from Buchanan has moved to the adoption of the House Committee substitute as amended on Senate Bill 291. Madam Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Barnett, Bartle, Bray, Callahan, Champion, Clemens, Crowell, Cunningham, Days, Dempsey, Engler, Goodman, Green, Griesheimer, Justice, Lager, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Nodler, Pierce, Ferguson, Ridgway, Roof, Schaefer, Schmidt, Scott, Shields, Schumacher, Smith, Stouffer,
aye.
Vogel, Wilson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the 23rd votes aye. Senator from the 8th votes no. Senator from Jefferson votes aye. Senator from Stoddard votes aye. Senator from Dent votes aye. Senator from 13th votes aye. Senator from Green votes aye. Senator from Howe votes no. Senator from the 4th has an aye. By your vote 29 aye, 3 no, you've adopted the House Committee Substitute as amended for Senate Bill 291. Senator from Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now I move the bill be third read, placed on its final passage.
Senator from Buchanan has moved the House Committee Substitute as amended for Senate Bill 291 be third read and finally passed. Is there any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from Cape.
Thank you, Mr. President. Speak briefly on the motion.
Proceed.
Mr. President, I appreciate the inquiry and the indulgence of the senator from Buchanan. I don't mean to belabor this. The way that I am looking at this and our able-bodied staff, Mickey, in the Joint Committee of Legislative Research and Oversight, the cost drivers that I'm just talking the big ones, that we see in here are the state adequacy target that is projected to have a $40 million fiscal note, the Riverview Gardens fix that is projected to have between a $2 million and $4 million over the next 3 years cost driver. The preschool grants have a $5 million cost driver, and the teacher choice compensation has a $5 million cost driver. In fiscal year 10, which is this year that we crafted, and we didn't appropriate the money for this bill, so we'll see this in a supplemental, is $52.4 million. In fiscal year 2011, it is $54 million. And in fiscal year 2012, it is $54.2 million are the cost drivers. I agree. So, with that being said, Mr. President, it's my understanding that when the repeal of loss limits, it was projected anywhere from 100 to 130 million. I don't know where that number is going to come to, and I'm not saying I do know it. It could very well be that every additional cost here is covered by the repeal of the loss limit. All I'm saying is the St. Louis or St. Joe paper says that we're looking at 30 million. I don't know where it is. I don't have any clue, and I'm pretty confident no one else in the state does. It is what it is, and we'll find out what that number is at the end of the year. All I'm saying is there are cost drivers in here. I appreciate greatly the work of the senator from Buchanan. I don't negate the work that he's done. I think this is a vital bill that has to pass where it is going, and understand the dilemma that he's at, but we will see these costs in a supplemental that will come up either next year or not, and just wanted to bring that information to the body. Thank you, Mr. President.
Motion, Senator from Buchanan. Is any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close. Senator Buchanan moves that House Committee substitute for, as amended by Senate amendment, House Committee substitute is amended. The Senate Bill 291 be read a third time and put on final passage. Secretary, please call the roll.
House Committee Substitute Number 2 for Senate Substitute for Senate Bill 291, an act relating to education with an emergency clause for certain sections. Senators Barnett, Bartle, Bray, Callahan, Champion, Clemens, Crowell, Cunningham, Days, Dempsey, Engler, Goodman, Green, Griesheimer, Justice, Lager, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Knobler, Pierce, Ferguson, Ridgway, Roop, Schaefer, Schmidt, Scott, Shields, Schumeyer, Smith, Stouffer,
aye.
Vogel, Wilson, Wright Jones,
Senator from the 11th, can we have your vote? As an aye. Senator from the 8th, votes no. By your vote, 29 aye, 3 no. The bill, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator from Buchanan, you're recognized for the emergency clause.
Thank you. Mr. President, I move to adoption of the emergency clause.
Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Barnett, Bartle, Gray, Callahan, Champion, Clemens, Crowell, Cunningham, Days, Dempsey, Engler, Goodman, Green, Griesheimer, Justice, Lager, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Knobler, Pierce, Ferguson, Ridgway, Roop, Schaefer, Schmidt, Scott, Shields, Schumeyer, Smith, Stouffer,
aye.
Vogel, Wilson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from the 24th, votes aye. Senator from the 8th, votes no. Senator from the 1st, votes aye. Senator from Boone, votes aye. By your vote, 30 aye, 1 no, you have adopted the emergency clause. Hearing no objection, Senator from...
I move the title be agreed to.
The Senator from Buchanan has moved the title to be approved. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. Senator from Buchanan.
I move the vote by which the bill passed be reconsidered.
Senator from the 11th.
I move that that motion be laid on the table.
Senator moves. The Senator from the 11th moves that the motion lie on the table. The vote occurs on the latter motion. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from St. Francis.
Could you recognize the Senator from Monroe for a purpose?
Senator from Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I have a frivolous motion.
State your motion.
Mr. President, I move that House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 480 be brought to the Senate and adopted.
You've heard the motion of the Senator from Monroe. All in favor of that motion say aye. All opposed say no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, much of the language in this bill is language that we heard earlier from the Secretary of State's office on a geographical board of names. This is language that they had that from the governor's office, and that we're just codifying that in statute. It allowed them to draw down some federal dollars to matching and moving into that arena. Also, what happened in the House is the speaker had some language in regards to the centennial capital celebration and the laying of the capstone of Missouri State Capitol to start to prepare for that. It allows the State Capitol Commission funds to be appropriated by the state. It allows us to take some private donations. And if there are no questions, I would renew my motion.
You've heard the motion of the Senator from Monroe. Does any member wish to speak on that motion? Senator from Kate, for what reason do you seek recognition?
To inquire the Senator from Monroe.
Senator from Monroe, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. You may proceed.
Senator, I appreciate you yielding. I'm trying to read your bill. Are we on the House Committee substitute?
That's correct, Senator.
Not the perfected version. Okay.
House Committee substitute.
Did we add anything dealing with the legal expense fund in this?
No.
Okay. All right, because we've seen this.
We've seen our language. The language is, if you look at the bill, our language is in the back of the bill, pages
okay.
4 and 5.
Okay.
The language dealing with what the House put in is on the first 3 pages.
Okay.
And it's basically allowing us to be prepared for the centennial celebration of this Capitol.
So we're going to party that this building has
I don't think it'll be much
years.
Like we had a couple, 3 years ago when we had a big party. Probably won't be that big.
What was that neon sign?
I don't know.
What did that neon sign say? One Missouri or one call or whatever, dig right or whatever.
I don't know. Senator, yeah. All I know is I was trying to trade stickers on the House floor for buttons, and it said OTB, and I said, that probably would carry on. You know,
that was the only time in history that I've ever heard of anyone spending over $40,000 for chocolate. And that's what I think we did for the Holden bars. I understand.
Yeah.
Well, I greatly appreciate that, and I just wanted to make sure that
we
had seen that before.
We
Mr.
have.
President?
Senator from Cape, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
If I could inquire of the senator from the 10th, if she's
Senator
listening.
From the 10th.
If I could inquire of the senator from the 10th. I'm sorry to pull her away.
Senator.
I apologize.